passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver, Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another Dr. Kevin show here on Om Times. As we most often do, or actually almost always, we have the first of the month, our partner in crime, Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed. You can find Matt 4 to 6 Monday through Friday at WMNH 95.7, or you can go to mattconnerton.com and listen to his show and call in and be one of his stooges or wonderfully colorful cast of characters as he explores the politics of the world. So without further ado, also we are a live call-in show, so feel free to call in at 202-570-7057. And without further ado, Matthew, what have been the hot topics on your unleashed view of the world?
Well, not to correct you, Dr. Kevin, but it's actually 95.3 in Manchester. But I think there is a station at 95.7, but who wants to listen to that?
Well, they so, clip yeah, me a few bucks if I put the wrong one in, so that they think they would be,
well, radio,
you know, 20 bucks is 20 bucks.
Radio is very cutthroat, and that's just how it is. But you can always go to my, I should mention, my website, mattconnerton.com, which has had a bit of a facelift, an overhaul, a reformatting, if you will. And it's looking pretty sexy, and all the information is there. So if you go to mattconnerton.com, you can listen to my show right from there. Because we have obviously listeners not just locally here in Manchester, but all over the place, even other continents. It's pretty remarkable. God bless the internet. But one of the things we've been doing lately on my show, Dr. Kevin, is a lot more music. My show has always been a mix of not just politics, but other things as well. There's music and comedy. And on Fridays, our friend Eric Pilcher does a classic film review for us every Friday, which is a very popular segment. And during the new year for 2023, one of the things that we decided we wanted to do was get more music onto the show. So now in a typical week, we'll have two or three musical guests come in throughout the week. Today, I was alone in the studio. It was just me and the callers and so forth. But tomorrow afternoon, we have a band coming in called Crooked Cash. The whole band can't make it, so they're not going to perform live, but they're going to come in for an interview and we'll play some of their music. And what I have found is, as much as I love politics, and I do, and I love talking about politics, I'm a political junkie. But I've also always loved interviewing musicians, and I have found that the listeners seem to like it, so it's good for the show. But selfishly, it's also good for me. There's something rejuvenating about it, and I think it's good for my mental health. Politics is still the core of my show. But to have musicians in on a regular basis and not just having it be like a couple times a month, but now it's a couple times a week. Like I said, two or three times a week, we'll do a segment. Usually it's in the second half of the show from 5 to 6 p.m. We'll have musicians come in, and it's just been really rejuvenating for me. And I just think it makes me feel better. So we've been doing a lot of that. Jenny's been taking that over, booking the musicians, and she's doing a great job with it. So that's been a big thing and kind of a change recently on the show. I tell people, you know, the ingredients of the show remain the same, but we've kind of played with the mixture a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you know, I think it is very important that it is something that you can change that. I mean, yeah, there are days where new crap comes out, but a lot of times it ends up, there's always some just rechewing the old crap that just is really so hard to swallow, you got to chew it 10 or 12 times. And, you know, after a while, if you don't break it up with something, I think it's really easy for it to actually contribute to depression. I think if you don't take a break from everything that's going on in the world and do something that just really feeds your soul, that you end up depleted. And then it's so easy to fall into depression if you're feeling depleted.
Yeah, I agree.
So I think that's wonderful. I'm glad to hear you're doing that.
I think it's been really good for me. And the response from the listeners is great too. And it's also helpful because I do a show that airs on another station, 100.1 The Planet here in New Hampshire, that I do a show called Local Outbreak that I've actually been doing for 13 years now that focuses specifically on New Hampshire-based music. So what I do is when guests come on to Matt Connerton Unleashed, if they're from New Hampshire, musical guests from New Hampshire, I actually take that interview and I repurpose it. You know, I edit out all the references to Unleashed and the station, and I repurpose it for the other show. So the guest ends up being on both shows, and, you know, and it makes it easier for me as well. So it's been really good. It's been really good. But today was just me in the studio and talked a lot about it. Do you follow the Havana Syndrome, that whole story?
I'm not going to say that I follow it. I know what you're referring to, but let's assume that all my listeners might not. So can you give us a catch up and then add whatever mayo you want after that?
Yeah, well, American intelligence has apparently concluded, well, it's not a firm conclusion, but they have announced that they can't find any evidence that Havana Syndrome is caused by an adversary of the United States, that it's a foreign enemy using some sort of energy microwave weapon. But for those who don't know, this story goes back to 2016 when American diplomats working in Cuba were reporting a variety of symptoms like terrible headaches and tinnitus and nausea and various other things, and they would report, suddenly hearing like a very intense piercing sound in their ears, and this was causing what they call organic brain injury. So it's like your brain is harmed not by blunt force trauma, you know, like in wrestling, if so, you know, you take a steel chair to the head, but not by a concussion, but by something unseen that is causing it, like a sound. And that's why they call it Havana Syndrome. That's where it first started to pop up. And then over time, American diplomats working in other parts of the world started reporting something similar. And it's up to more than 1,500 American diplomats not only in Cuba, but in China and Russia have reported this. And it's very mysterious. It's been investigated by our government. No one can find any evidence that it is a foreign adversary deploying some sort of weapon. And so the best conclusion they can come up with is that it's, it's a coincidence, and these people are suffering from, you know, just some sort of natural illness. Maybe some of them were exposed to some sort of pesticide that had been sprayed, you know, any number of things, but that it's probably not some sort of weapon. But the report that they issued apparently was heavily redacted. Much of it remains classified. And I'm just wondering, and Senator Marco Rubio is wondering this apparently too, as he said in a statement today, I'm wondering, well, if they really can't figure out, if they really can't find that anyone's doing something nefarious, then I understand why there would be no evidence, because if you're actively investigating this weapon and your adversaries know that you're investigating it, well, they can just shut it off. And then you're not going to find any evidence of it. I mean, obviously something mechanical and physical has to be emanating these microwaves that are harmful, but the waves themselves, you can't just find them if they're not currently being used. They're not going to leave any trace. So I'm just wondering why is the report so heavily redacted and why is much of it classified if they can't find anything that that someone is intentionally doing against our diplomats? So. I find it hard to believe that this is all a coincidence, that these 1,500 people, they all just happen to be experiencing their own naturally occurring illnesses when these stories are all so similar and no one had seen anything quite like this prior to 2016. So I've been fascinated by this this whole Havana syndrome thing. And my theory is I think someone is deploying something against us that we just can't see. But yeah, so that was a big, that was the big topic of discussion in the second half of my show today.
Yeah, I mean, 1,500 is a little large for a coincidence. And
yeah,
everybody that's coming down to it is involved with an adversarial, so to speak, and that we are in countries that we are in adversarial relations with.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the ones I heard you mention: China, Russia, Cuba. Who else? Is that the three big ones?
Yeah, that was the big three. There was one theory. So apparently in Havana at the American Embassy where this was first being reported, the Cuban government had sprayed pesticides for to ward off the Zika virus that at that time was a problem. So there was some speculation that maybe people had inhaled that pesticide and that's what was making them sick. But in order for that to be the case, that would have to mean that in other parts of the world, people were also inhaling something that was making them sick. So I would buy that explanation more if this were isolated to Havana, but it's not. So,
but the one thing that strikes me is if you're going to induce some kind of the kind of poison, it may not kill, because they're not actually killing people, but it's giving them organic malfunctions.
Mm-hmm.
That, first of all, the very first thing I thought of was, these are all countries that do not have the same kind of like an EPA level standards and are, they're not known as being badasses against, you know, spraying toxic stuff in the air that is showing problems. They don't have that level. And so the first thing I thought was, though, you know, you can't say Russia and China are a third world country, but they're certainly not regulated, a regulated country in the same way we are.
Sure.
I mean, and so I originally thought something in the air before you even said the whole pesticide thing. I was like, is this something they're spraying that because we have developed an immunity because we've had stuff that we've taken out of the airwaves for 30 or 40 years. And if
yeah,
they are finding stuff and, you know, everything is becoming more virulent, every animal species out there is evolving against the ways in which we try to eliminate them as best mm-hmm. they can. you know, from coronavirus to mosquitoes to tsetse flies. And
right.
So, but if this mysterious case first showed up and somebody went, ooh, well, that would be an interesting way to really screw up U.S. diplomacy. They could get whatever Havana was spraying and spray it at times, knowing that there's a life cycle where it gets eliminated out of the air, but it has this kind of an effect because it's like some kind of chemical on steroids. So I don't know. I mean, that's kind of where my brain goes with it, but I don't know if that makes any sense.
No, it does. I think that makes sense. Yeah.
So I think that it may even have been an experiment in Havana to see if it would work. Like,
right.
You know, if you have an area where you only have American citizens that are primarily there and you douse it with this, you know, to protect you chemical in the air, where is the, excuse me, how can we not know that there wasn't some kind of testing or intentionality? So
right.
I mean, I'd heard a little bit about it, but I have not had the time or frankly the energy to dig into it. So
yeah.
I'm glad you brought this little problem to me, Matt. I like solving these little problems for you.
Yeah, well, I do try to. I do try to on my show, and this hasn't always necessarily been the case. But again, with, you know, in the new year, I've been trying to really focus on a lot of issues that aren't necessarily being paid a ton of attention by the mainstream media, so that I'm not just parroting what's already being talked about, because it's easy to fall into that trap. And I always feel like I need to be doing something that's different from what everyone else is doing, because if I'm doing what everyone else is doing, then what I'm doing really has no purpose. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, I always remember this. My parents would have a fit if I wanted to watch like reruns, like, you know, like I'd see the first issue of the Batman show, part one and part two. And then if you know, and then when summer repeat came and I wanted to watch the Batman show, they'd be like, oh, you already saw that. Why are you wasting your time, you know, watching repeats? And yet I always noticed they would watch them. And on weekends, it was all three. So it would be the morning, the noon, the 6 o'clock, all four, and the 11 o'clock news. I mean, like, how much friggin' change is there between the morning news, the afternoon news, the evening news, and the late night news? Like, how many things really could happen in the world that would make that not mostly repeated information?
Right.
I would point that out to them, and they would say it was different, but they could never tell me how.
Right.
Yes.
Well, it's fun. What's funny, though, is today we live in a world where actually, yeah, there's a lot of things that can be different. Everything goes so fast now, you know?
Well, unfortunately, everything may go fast, but you also have more, I think, more misinformation than ever, because they have to fill in so many hours, 24-hour mm-hmm. news cycles. And so, you know, how much stuff do they grab and don't really get a chance to verify? Or, I mean, let's face it. I mean, news headlines were the original clickbait.
Yeah.
But
yeah, true.
So I would love to hear your take on the whole now released text messages from Fox and the testimony from Rupert Murdoch when we get back after this break, because I'm sure you must have a thought or two on that.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be right back
yes.
here at the Dr. Kevin Show.
Conscious media for conscious minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
You came across someone struggling with hunger. How would you recognize them? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited
for summer break because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time
landing a job and getting back on his feet?
I am the one in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger.
I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Times. This week has been all first Thursdays, pretty much. We have Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed. You can watch Matt's Drive Time Show at 95.3. I guess I have to give the $20 back now. 95.3 WMNH if you're in the Manchester, New Hampshire area, or you can go to the new sexy mattconnerton.com where you can listen to the radio show, you can interact with Matt from 4 to 6 Monday through Friday, where you can hear the discussion of politics interlaced with local bands and music and, you know, whatever wild hair went across Matt that day, basically. Can all happen in the Matt Connerton Elise show. Right, Matt?
That's right.
We all know about you and the wild hair. A few of them are
I do need
stuck to your head.
I do need a haircut. I'm looking pretty shaggy.
So, yep, it's definitely, I completely reformatted because I brought it up on break so I could look at it. So, you know, if you want to see Matt in his favorite position, which is behind the microphone, again, go to Matt Connerton. And that is C Connerton is C-O-N-N-A-R-T-O-N, mattconnerton.com. You can also go to ipmnation.com as well, or just tune right into the radio station itself. So, Matt, what do you think about all of these private texts that have been exposed, the Dominion lawsuit, and old Rupert having to cough up some truth under oath?
Well, none of it's a surprise to me, to be honest. I mean, I'm glad that it's coming out. But, you know, obviously, if you're a Trumper, and Trump is your God Emperor, then, you probably just convince yourself that Rupert Murdoch's brain is being somehow controlled by George Soros. And that's why he's saying all these things. So it's not actually a big surprise. I mean, obviously, people like Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity, I mean, they're not idiots. They know They know that the election was not stolen. They know that that Trump lost, but you know, but they gotta push the narrative. It's you know, it's a business. It's not a news organization. And by the way, I mean, you see this. It's not unique to Fox. I mean, MSNBC obviously skews heavily left, and CNN, I think at one time tried to be objective, but over the course of the Trump administration, they became very much like MSNBC. So, you know, it's difficult to get truly just straight news. But Fox has always been, from the very beginning, just a propaganda machine for conservatives, going all the way back to when Rupert Murdoch became an American citizen and started Fox News. So none of it's really shocking. It's good that it's documented, and I hope that Dominion is successful in their lawsuit. I think they will be, certainly. And Rupert Murdoch, I mean, he's in his 90s. He probably doesn't even care that much at this point. But what happens ultimately, he's got more money than probably his family could ever spend in their lifetimes. So none of it's a shock, but it is good to see that it's coming out. I'm not surprised by any of it.
Do you think it will have any effect on behavior, or they're going to pay the $1.6 billion and go, oh, well, and just keep going?
Probably the latter. Yeah, I think they'll pay the $1.6 billion and just keep going. Yeah, I don't think it'll make any difference at all. I really don't. I mean, you know, looking at the big picture, why should it? You know, why should they change anything? You know, they'll pay the $1.6 billion because ultimately they can afford to. So it's, I mean, not that $1.6 billion is a small amount of money by any stretch, but they can pony that up, you know? I mean, I don't know how much money News Corp has, but I'm sure they can afford that $1.6 billion.
Yeah. Well, I'm waiting to, I mean, I can't imagine that they want this to go to trial. So I'm waiting to see if there's going to be some kind of settlement, some kind of counteroffer, or do you think they'll actually keep the dog and pony show all the way into the courtroom?
No, I think there will be a settlement. I think you're right. I think there has to be. Otherwise they stand to lose a lot more, and they will lose in court if it does go to court. I don't see how they after what he said during that deposition, I don't see how they avoid losing in court. I think it would be very damaging. I mean, what's already happened is mildly damaging, because like I said, most you know, I think probably your average Fox viewer only watches Fox as far as news. So your average Fox viewer probably doesn't even know about any of this. And if they do know any of this, like I said, that they probably find some way to justify or rationalize it in their own minds, or they're used to believing what Trump tells them. And they look at something like this and they say, oh, this is just, you know, this is all slanted against Murdoch and Fox, because Fox is the one network that tells the truth, and you know, or whatever it is, whatever they have to tell themselves, whatever their coping mechanism is. So this is slightly damaging, but if it goes to court, I think they stand to lose a lot more money. I think their best bet is to settle, and I think they will.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, I can't imagine Newsmax is not having a heyday with this. And I think that, you know, that you have that crossover between Fox and Newsmax's audience. I think they're probably people that bounce between the two at this point. So it will just be interesting to, you know, see, I have this image in my head of these, you know, two MAGA-like rednecks punching it out because it's Fox against Newsmax about who's more really Trump. Well, you know what Tucker really said. And throwing it in each other's faces. For some reason, that brings me great amusement. Don't ask me.
Oh,
why.
Yeah. No, I don't need to ask. I get it. I get it.
So a recent poll put Trump back over DeSantis. DeSantis was actually polling better for Trump for a short period of time. And now suddenly Trump has taken over DeSantis in the latest, you know, polls done in the illusionary world of MAGA, where all nuts need to apply. But DeSantis is still saying nothing. I mean, anything going on there, you think? Do you think he's hoping for a vice president pick, or do you think he's just saying, I'm young enough, I'm just going to keep my head down till this madness passes?
No, I think he's I think he's running. I think the last thing I saw was they're probably waiting until June to announce. I think he's running. I think he's just not saying anything because there's no reason to. Until he actually announces, there's no reason to engage. Why engage? He might as well continue to remain above the fray. Once he's actually in it, he'll have to start responding. But until he announces, he's not in it. So there's just no reason to. I think he's playing it smart. I think he's smart not to react or respond. You know, just brush it off, ignore it until he's actually in the race. There's no reason to.
Now, I didn't get a chance to investigate this headline. It showed up on one of my things during the day, but there's some bill that they're trying to pass in Florida that would actually delegitimize the Democratic Party. Have you heard of this?
I haven't seen that, but if that were to happen anywhere, it would be Florida, wouldn't it? But no, I'm not aware of that.
Yeah, there's some bill that would leave the 74 million Democratic voters without a party. And I didn't get a chance to read like what they're trying to do. And I'm kind of sort of waiting to see how many of these laws that are getting, I mean, you know, right now I just, you know, Florida is very quickly becoming, you know, as far as I'm concerned, a very wealthy third world country run by a dictator.
I did find the article here, NBCnews.com. Yeah, this is from yesterday, I think. Florida Republican pitches bill to eliminate the Florida Democratic Party. The Ultimate Cancel Act, it's called, would cancel the filings of any party that previously advocated for slavery, which the Democratic Party did more than 150 years ago. So there you go. It's called the Ultimate Cancel Act. Wow. Breaking legislative ground in Florida.
Yeah. Okay. Like I said, I mean, I don't know whether he could actually grow facial hair or not, but I mean, he might as well just go down and call himself Fidel the way he's running Florida these days.
Well, to be fair though, it doesn't look like DeSantis is connected to this bill in any way.
No, but do you think he was hit with it completely unaware, and nobody in the Republican Party told them they were going to try it?
Who knows?
I guess so. I mean,
possible.
The amount of, you know, it's sad, but the amount of these people that are coming up and giving us, if it wasn't for the fact they had power, it would be funny, these shit shows of just ludicrous concepts. that, you know, I mean, yeah, I mean, a few of them are playing and grifting the system, but I really think some of them couldn't pass an IQ test. I have to wonder. I mean, like, look at MTG. Does anybody really think that woman, I mean, she might be street smart, but she's not a really intelligent woman.
No, clearly not.
Now, I loved her campaign manager's response when they fact-checked the fact that she blamed the death of those two kids on Biden.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That happened in the Trump administration.
Yeah.
And called called it Chinese fentanyl.
Yeah, and wasn't the response something profane?
Her rep or whoever it is, basically, went and asked the office, and they said, Do you think they give an F about your bullshit fact checking?
Right.
Basically.
It is very on brand.
Yes. And then they asked her if she was going to love this. I also gave Green congressional spokesman Nick Dyer an opportunity to comment regarding her multiple false claims yesterday about the 2020 election, such as the lies that Trump won Georgia and there were thousands of dead voters there. His response was F off.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, I know I'm one of those like elitists who thinks that maybe you should speak in full sentences. Did you see the clip of AOC tearing apart the fact that the Republicans, one of the very early bills they put together was written so poorly that it would actually be unenforceable?
I didn't see that.
Correct.
I didn't see that yet. No.
Yeah. We will be right back.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for School Girls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Vox Novus, the new voice. Vox Novus, the new dimension. Vox Novus, thought and movement leaders who will share from their experience and offer tools to help us navigate our rapidly changing world. My name is Victor Furman. Join me every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio for Vox Novus, the new voice.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the last segment of the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Times. And as always, on the first Thursday of the month, we have Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed, 95.3 WMNH. If you want to tune in and you're in the local Manchester area, well, you can go to mattconnerton.com. Check out his new sexy website. listen to the radio show. Yes, you stud you. His drive time show, 4 to 6, Monday through Friday. So any ideas or thoughts that they've decided that these individual people can actually sue Trump for January 6th and the damage that was happening, that has gotten a green light?
I'm not sure. I have a hard time keeping all the Trump stuff straight. There's so much of it. So I might have missed something. Help me out here. What got the green light exactly?
That there's like three or four different groups, one being a group of like reps and senators, mm-hmm. one being the Capitol Police family, I think, of the guy who died. There was another group, I don't have the list in front of me, but they were personally suing Trump for inciting violence that led to their lives being at risk or the loss of the life.
And
I can't be sued. I was acting in the way of the president, blah, blah, blah. Well, the three-panel judge court in D.C., which means the only stop now is the Supreme Court, has said, no, you can sue him in a limited way, but you can sue him. And they started accepting, they moved the process forward. So it's going to be able to be, fact-found and all of that stuff. So,
okay.
Yeah.
I did see this briefly earlier, and I didn't get a chance to really look at it closely. But yeah, NBC News has it. Trump can be sued by police over January 6th. The Justice Department says DOJ attorneys said in a court filing that in the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia, that Trump does not have absolute immunity from civil lawsuits filed by police officers and members of Congress. Oh, good. Boy, this guy, I'll tell you what, though, I've said many times, running for president and then winning the presidency is the worst thing that could have ever happened to him. He's got so much against him legally. And this is just another thing to add to the pile. It's just incredible.
You know, but I have to have a question is, because he was already starting to be investigated for stuff before he started running in the state of New York. And of course, mm-hmm. the stuff has piled on. But I have to question, if he hadn't been able to grift what's probably billions of dollars for him and his family, and grift and get in bribes and getting by overcharging the Secret Service that all had to stay at his five-star hotel and all of this crap. I mean, he's built the American people and the government for millions, if not billions of dollars at this point. I would question, would he actually have survived if he didn't win presidency, and would he have been able to stay solvent?
I think so. I think so, probably. Before he ran for president, I mean, look, this country generally, historically, does not like to punish rich, powerful, and famous people, with limited exception. Martha Stewart went to Club Fed for a very short period of time, I think, from what I recall. But generally, if you're wealthy and powerful and you're generally well-liked, you get a slap on the wrist for most things. And Trump, before he became a political candidate, was, I think, generally well-liked, I mean, The Apprentice was never as successful a television program as he wanted everyone to think. He talks about it like it was the number one show on network television. It absolutely was not. But it did well enough in the ratings to run for, I don't know, what was it, a decade? You know, but prior to running for president, I mean, I always kind of liked him. You know, I remember watching the Trump roasts on Comedy Central, and you know, hearing him his interviews on Howard Stern, and you know, he seemed like kind of a likable guy. You know, I think he would have been fine. I think he would have been able to deal with whatever investigations, you know, whatever civil penalties he'd end up having to pay, whatever. I think he would have been fine. I think running for president is the biggest mistake of his life. And, you know, my theory, I don't think he ever wanted to win. I don't think he ever expected to win. He looked as shocked as anyone on the night of the election. And when he walked out that night to give his speech, his victory speech, he had a look on his face that I'd never seen on his face before or since. He had a look of, oh shit, what have I done? He didn't look happy. He didn't look excited. He looked terrified. I look back on that and I wonder, did he know how, like, did he not trust his own impulses? Did he know how self-destructive he would be, how all of the problems that he would create for himself if he were to actually be president? Or maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe it was just more like, oh shit, I told Melania, don't worry, there's no chance I'm going to win, and we'll just go back to our normal lives. And then he wins, you know, and he's worried that he's upset his wife. I mean, that look on his face, it could have meant any number of things. But I know what it was not. It was not a look of, wow, this is great, I'm finally going to be president. It was not that. It's the worst thing that could have happened to him. I think on some level he knew it. Had he just lost the election like everyone assumed he would, I think he would have just gone back to his life and whatever legal troubles he would deal with, but they'd be much fewer than he's dealing with now. And now he wants to be president again because he thinks that'll give him some protection from some of these legal issues. But I mean, he's got to feel like he's drowning on some level, you know? I don't know. I don't remember what your question was exactly, but I kind of went on a tangent there. But
that's okay. Matt Connerton Unleashed is always welcome on the Dr. Kevin Show.
Thank you.
So, even if he gets elected, some of this is not going to go away.
Right.
And, you know, some of it is likely to come to boil before he can actually win the nomination. I mean, we got Georgia that's imminent in putting out stuff. We've got New York that's chasing his tail. I mean, and he, even if he gets elected president, he doesn't have the ability to pardon himself from state crimes.
True.
So I think he's just running as fast as he can, hoping he doesn't get caught.
Yeah, I mean, the sick thing is some of this actually helps him with his base, because he very successfully dupes his base into believing that, well, we're all in this together, and when they come after me, they're coming after you too, and, you know, we're all in this together, and his base eats that up, you know, that inclusivity that he presents, and so that's why, for example, after the raid on Mar-a-Lago over those top secret documents, how did we learn about that? From Trump. The FBI tried to keep it low key. Trump publicized. He went on social media and said, "Oh, look, they're raiding Mar-a-Lago. Look what they're doing to me." And he did that because he knows in some ways he's a smart guy. He understands his marketing and branding, and he knew that he would raise money from doing that. So he publicized it, and sure enough, he raised a ton of donations from doing that. The base, they you know, they actually love seeing him be attacked, because to them, it's like, it's a reason to fight. You know, he's their god emperor, and they're going to fight for their god emperor, you know? So with his base, a lot of this actually helps him. It's so bizarre. I can't think of another case like this in American history, but with Trump, the more legal trouble he's in, the better it is for him among that third of the Republican Party that is ride or die for Trump. They love him no matter what. That love is unconditional. They will support him no matter what, and they can't wait to open their wallets to help their hero, you know, if that's what it takes.
So we're going to move away from the Antichrist. I'm sorry, Trump. And did you catch the last couple of digs that Biden did towards MTG?
I caught one of them, yeah.
Which one did you catch?
I don't remember exactly what he said, but I remember he punctuated it by saying, "Isn't she amazing?" But I don't remember, and that got a laugh. But I don't remember what exactly it was that he was commenting on. It slips my mind now. But I remember he said, "Isn't she amazing?" Or "She's amazing, isn't she?" Or something like that, and it got a good laugh from the audience.
Yeah. Well, and then in one case he went on to say, like, the more she talks, the more Republicans run towards us.
I didn't catch that.
Yeah. And then there was a point when he brought, when somebody asked him about her, and he just did the sign of the cross.
Oh, okay. I missed that.
And that was hysterically received because with Catholics, it can be considered a blessing or a protection from a demon.
Right. That's true.
I was like, he's actually not doing all that bad right now.
Yeah.
And he just all he's been doing is walking around and saying, "Yeah, here's the good stuff we did. And then can you believe?" And of course, the whole national divorce thing is like, yeah. First of all, if anybody did the numbers and the quote unquote red states formed their own country, they'd be a third world country, because the blue states support their economies.
Right.
Because, you know, they actually are the traditionally the poorest states. And I mean, with, you know, the exception of, I mean, they'd have Florida and Texas, and everything else would drag them down.
Yeah.
But
true.
So I'm going to get in. Anything else you want to share? Because I know we're almost out of time.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Boy, I don't know. Tune into my show, Matt Connerton Unleashed. I'm live weekdays from 4 to 6 p.m. in glorious downtown Manchester, New Hampshire. You can also, if you are in Manchester, you can also watch on cable on Comcast 97. But otherwise, yeah, go to my website, mattconnerton.com. The show is syndicated to a number of different stations, and you can find the full list there. Or you can access the show directly through the website, the audio stream. But also, a lot of people join us on Facebook every day, and they chat in the Facebook live chat during the show. We get a lot of interaction that way. So you can do that as well. And we take calls and we have a good time. I like to think that I present something unique that you won't hear on any other FM radio station as far as political talk. And, you know, like I was saying earlier too, we do mix in a lot of music. So we have a goal actually. And, I think these wheels are already well in motion, and the goal is we want to make my show the go-to show for unsigned and independent artists to go and be interviewed and have their music featured. We want to be we want to be the show for that. You know, if you're already famous, you don't need me. And if you're already famous, there's no reason for me to interview you anyway, because if I want to know more about you, I can just go look or listen to somebody else interview you who's already done it. But I'm interested in talking to unsigned and independent artists who have something to say and something are doing something that I think is interesting and compelling, and getting to know them on their way up. You know, that to me is much more interesting and stimulating. So that's what we're doing. So, and we do accept submissions, of course, if any musicians or anyone actually, or anyone who wants to come on the show, shoot me an email, matt@mattconnerton.com, and we will get right back to you. And Jenny's doing a great job with that, with all the bookings. So good things are happening.
Well, that's great. Next week, Ginger Hendry, animal communicator, will be the guest here on the Dr. Kevin Show. In a month, we will have Matt back. And as always, we look forward to having you back in a month, Matt. And
yes,
thank you for bringing the extra spice to the table of the Matt Connerton Unleashed Show, right here on the Dr. Kevin Show at Om Time. And on that note, everybody, have a good night.
All right. Thanks, everybody.